To see each and every one of you this morning, those of you that are in our congregation and those that are watching on our feed, whether it be live or at a later date, just want each and every one of you to know how much we love you.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we prepare to open up our service. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to say that we know that we're saved. In the name of Jesus, amen, 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 amen. As we get ready to open our prayer, we just want to continuously remember those that are still sick, those that are shut in, those are in quarantine, or those are in the hospital, those are in assisted living. We just ask God just to touch each and every one, and also for those that are taking care of them. We just appreciate them so much. Love each and every one of you. Again, as we do, let's also keep in mind for not only our church body, but also the world church, the God's church, and then also for our community, our state, and our nation, that we'll continue to pray. We just love the Lord this morning and so excited to get started. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by raising of your hand. But you know, it's all not all doom and gloom. Do you have a testimony? Lord ever touched you? Has He ever been there? Let's raise that other hand and just lift up the Lord this morning. Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your mercy, for Your grace, and for Your love. Dear Lord, for the sacrifice, Jesus, You did for each and every one of us, that precious blood that You shed for us. Lord, may we not let that just go unnoticed, dear Lord. May we know that our life is in You, dear Lord, with You living within us, dear Lord, that we receive You as our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, for every prayer request that's gone forth now, dear Lord, you see the hands that were raised. You know those spoken and unspoken. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our heart. Lord, we're asking you to take each and every one. Lord, we're asking you to heal, to mend, to protect. Dear Lord, to guide. And dear Lord, show us the way that you would have us to go, my Lord. May we take each and every step in your path, dear Lord. May we follow you. May we let you. And we just want to hold on to you, dear Lord. And Lord, let you guide us. Dear Lord, we ask now with this service, Lord, take it over, dear Lord. Let your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, have a free reign amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. For those that are watching on our feet, whether it be here live now or at a later time, may they feel your holy presence, dear Lord, as the word goes forth, as your word is read, that's so important this morning. Dear Lord, that they would just feel you and know that you are the answer. Dear Lord, for every storm that comes against us, dear Lord, every wind that blows, Lord, that we will stand on the rock and you are our foundation, dear Lord. We love and praise you. Lord, we ask you now to guide our country. Dear Lord, come in and settle. And dear Lord, let your word be, let us be one nation under God, dear Lord, in your name. Lord, we come to you. Ask now that you'll just bless our pastor and his family. Please accept every song sung, every instrument played, dear Lord, and every hand that's raised, dear Lord, just to worship you and you alone. Dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Oh, I feel his holy presence this morning. I know it's always there. But as you're standing, turn to page 306. I don't think we've done this in a while. The old gospel ship. Used to do it all the time when we first started church here. But as we do, just smile at somebody. Let them know how much Jesus loves them this morning as we open up our service. The old gospel ship. See if you can, but turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them this morning. Got some new guests, some new arrivals. I'm really excited about that this morning. We had some visitors in our Sunday school class this morning too, and I know in other places I've seen faces that we haven't seen in a while, and we're looking forward to all those that haven't been able to be with us to get back soon so we can all worship and be together. Praise God. We're going to get ready and take up the morning offering. And then turn it over to the choir. I don't have any announcements up here right now. Is anybody kind of quiet? Okay, praise God. There's so much going on with our activities, our ministries. Don't forget about Thursday nights. I do want to mention this, our Overcomers Outreach. Be in much prayer for that, because there's so many in need that are seeking an answer. That answer of joy or peace, or maybe just being able to sleep the night through, or maybe to relinquish some guilt and fear. But you know, through our Overcomers Outreach, it's an opportunity, a Christian-based recovery group that we just can want to continue to keep in prayer. And for those that are in ministry also, we just love and appreciate each and every one of you. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering this morning, please?
Beloved Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord. We're so thankful for this day that you bless us with.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
We're going to do How Great Is Our God.
Hey.
grace. There is nothing greater than grace.
Praise. Say to someone who feels like they've lost it all, they're over the edge with no one there to break the fall. What do you say to someone who's only known abuse? Amen. What do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home? Everything is out of their control. There is no valley. There is no darkness. There is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. Is on the line, and they're unsure what happens after their last breath. And what do you say to someone who's only known abuse, and the walls they built to save themselves makes it hard to hear the truth? What do you say to a life of regret that's trying so hard to forget? What do you say to dreams unmet? There is no valley. There is no darkness. There is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus.
There is no valley. There said amen. Praise God. There's nothing greater than grace. How many's thankful? Man, to be the recipient of grace. My, my, my. Got any happy folks in the house this morning? Come on, just put your hands together for the Lord. God is great, isn't he? The Bible says greatly to be praised. Man, I just don't think we've got that part down yet. We need to praise him greater than we've ever done in our life. Amen. For his goodness, his mercy, and his amazing grace. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Hope you're having a good week. Hope you're prepared to just get it right into the word of the Lord this morning and just ask the Lord to feed us from heaven. Let's do key of G.
I've been on the mountain with Jesus.
With the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning. It is so good to see you. We just thank God for all of his goodness, for his many blessings. Amen. For allowing us another day, another time, amen, to come into his house to worship this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the book of Psalms. The 119th Psalm, beginning with verse number 129. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 129. Amen. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Reading from God's holy and precious word. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, to feel your holy presence. For those who have gathered here this morning, Father, I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pray, God, that you would just shower your blessings down upon this congregation this morning. Father, I ask that you anoint these lips of clay. God, humbly, Lord, I ask, God, that you would anoint and have your will and way. God, give us the words that you would have us to hear. God, speak unto our hearts that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, we do pray for those who are suffering. Many are sick, afflicted, some in the hospitals this morning, the nursing homes. We pray, God, that you would be a comfort and a source of strength to each and every need. Again, Lord, just have your way this morning, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, from that particular passage of Scripture in chapter 119 of Psalms, I want to take just that particular passage that we read this morning, bring this message entitled, Measured Steps. I seemingly could not get away from that particular phrase this week. I'm not certain when it first began to appear in my mind or in my spirit, but it would not leave me. In fact, many times during this week, I would pause and just begin to reflect and ask God to lead me and give me what he would have me to hear. And the phrase kept coming back, measured steps. And I began to try to apply that to my life and how that many decisions are made on a constant basis, daily decisions. And I began to reevaluate and take inventory of my spiritual walk with the Lord and begin to question myself, are my steps always measured? Are they always calculated? Are they always deliberate? These are the meanings of measure: deliberate, calculated, thoughtful. Let me add to that prayerful. Amen. If we're not taking prayerful steps, then we need to take advantage of that opportunity that we can communicate with the Lord. How many knows that communicate means sometimes listening? So many times I think we get it mixed up. We think communicate is just unload unto the Lord and tell him everything that's going on in our life. And certainly that's a good opportunity because the Lord says, bring me every burden, every care. But I think many times we just need to listen to the Lord and ask for his direction and ask him, as I did this week, to measure my steps. And I believe the Lord gives us that ability. I believe he gives us that certain discernment that we need to calculate our steps and measure our steps in our life. Now, we're not always just talking about our physical, natural steps. We're talking about our thought process. We're talking about our conversations. We're talking about our relationship with others. Lord, lead me and guide me in every avenue of my life, every facet of my life. God, I want to be measured. I want it to be measured by your Holy Spirit. I don't want to do the things that I would want to do. I want to do the things, Lord, that you would have me to do. I want to incorporate that into my natural life as well as I do my spiritual life. The psalmist here exclaims that God's testimonies, his words and commandments give light and understanding. And then he says in how he longs or pants to hear from God. How many in the congregation today love it when we hear from God? You know, when God just kind of speaks softly to us sometimes and just lets us know that I'm right here with you. You're never alone. I'll be with you always, and I'll guide you and I'll lead you and I'll direct you in the way that I would want you to go. And I believe if we will devote our life and our attention and our attributes unto God, that God will give us times, he will give us opportunities, even in trying times, even in times when it seems like we can't take another step. There's an old song that talked about that. Lord, when I can't take another step, when I just stand still and see the righteousness of God. But God has never failed me in those circumstances. He's never left me alone. In fact, I find that more times than not, he's there to lift me up and to take me through these troubled times, these troubled waters, so to speak, or whatever it is that we're facing in our life. But I think that many, many times when the battle is over or when things settle down, sometimes we go back to our natural way of doing and thinking and walking, and sometimes we disregard the measured steps of them that God was helping us through in these troubled times. And God just began to speak to me and let me know that we need to, He needs to guide our steps even in good times as well as bad times. And I began to think about measured and how that, I thought about in my life and how that when I was very, very young, I was, whenever I would go somewhere, it was usually in a fast trot or a run. I would constantly take off down a hill. Brother Jim, I would run through the woods. And you know how you are when you're youthful. And I thought about, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. Back then, if I rolled or fall, I just kind of jump up and keep going. But let me tell you, it's not as fun to fall now as it was back when I was a lot younger. So I begin to measure my steps. I begin to be more aware of where I'm going. Sometimes when I put my foot, I want to make sure it's on a solid foundation. I don't know if you've ever walked or stepped on a piece of gravel, just a little piece of gravel, and it'll throw your ankle kind of off. And when you were young, you just kind of pass it off. But it means something now because you could be laid up for 2 or 3 days with a very sore ankle. And God just began to bring that to my attention. And I said, Lord, I want to apply that to my spiritual walk. I've been living for the Lord a great number of years, and thank God that for every day, every hour that the Lord has been with me to lead me and guide me. Many, many times I have erred. Many, many times I have tried to do things in my own way or my own desire, but God just kept loving me, and He kept forgiving me, and He kept bearing with me and picked me up and dusted me off, and as David said, picked me up out of a horrible pit and established my goings. Amen. He set me on a solid rock. The Lord has had to do that to me over and over and over. And I think that it's time in my spiritual walk with God that I begin to pay a little bit more attention to my spiritual walk with my measured steps and my steps of faith. And God has told me that He can do anything and that there's nothing impossible with Him. And God has told me through His Word that He is the healer of our body. And God has given me that comfort of knowing that He is always with us, and I thank God for that, and I want to apply that to my life just as the psalmist did. He's reminiscing about the understanding of God's Word and how He longs for His testimonies. And the older I get, the more I'm in love with the Word of God. Amen. I can't go a day without getting in the Word of God and having it apply to my life, and it means more and more and more to me each and every day. And I want to be submissive to God's will, and I want to be obedient to God's will, and I want His Spirit to lead me and guide me in every decision that I make, and especially in the pastoring of a church and in the ministering to the sick and to the afflicted, and even to my family and the decisions that must be made. I want God to always be first and foremost in my life when I make that decision and say, God, am I making the right step? Is it a measured step? Is it what I want, or is it what You want? Is it what I need, Lord, or is it what You need for me? God spoke so vividly to my heart and my spirit this week that I need to measure my steps. I need to measure my conversation. I need to measure my answer when people say things to me. I need to make sure that it's not going to be harmful or hurtful, but it's going to be beneficial, and it's going to be filled with love and grace and mercy as God speaks to us when we come to Him so in a tizzy, and when we come to Him with our life seemingly in a shambles, and God is so compassionate with us and understanding. And He speaks those kind words to our spirit. That's what I want God to be in my life. I want it to be a constant source, amen, that I can rely on, and a constant source that I can put my faith and trust in Him and not make decisions that I'll have to go back and pay the price for. Many, many times we make rash decisions, and we hurry and make things in our life and do things when later on we have to repent of that and say, Lord, I messed up. Can You help me? And God says, slow down. Slow down. Listen to me and take measured steps and take deliberate steps and take calculated steps and thoughtful and prayerful steps. And I think if we'll do that, we'll find that we'll have less controversy and less turmoil in our life. I'm not saying everything's going to be a path of roses. I'm not saying that we'll never have any problems or trials or situations. But if we make a calculated effort, amen, to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, where He leads me, I will follow. Amen. I remember just as a young boy when we would have a baptismal service and we'd go down to the little creek that was there that my granddaddy used as a baptismal pool, and they always took daddy's guitar and they always sang the same song, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." And just being a young boy, I thought that meant that they would follow the pastor as he walked into the water. And I thought, well, that's the song you have to sing when you're going to get baptized. Later on, I found out it wasn't following the pastor. Come on, amen. It wasn't following the song leader. What the author of that song was talking about is where Jesus walks, I will follow Him. Amen. Where the Lord leads me, I will follow Him. He'll be my constant guide. He'll be my constant abode. Amen. And where He wants me to walk, that's where I want to walk. What He wants me to say, that's what I want to say. How He wants me to act in my actions and in my responses, that's what I want to do in my life. But it has to be measured. What are we talking about, measured? Talking about thought provocative. Amen. Think about responses. Think about what you say. You know, a lot of times emotions will rise up in our life and we'll get caught up in the things of the world and given the opportunity. And let me tell you something, folks. Once it is spoken, come on. Once it is spoken, you can say, I can take it back all the way you want to, but it's already out. And I believe that we need to be examples of encouragement. I think that we need to be ambassadors for God's grace and His mercy and His love. And I think that so many times the response that we give or the actions that we take need to be measured. They need to be seasoned with prayer. They need to be seasoned with faith and trust in God and not overreact on certain things. Amen. But wait upon the Lord, because the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. I found out if I do it in my own ways, none of that's going to help. But if I wait on the power and the presence of Almighty God, He'll lead me and guide me where He wants to take me. And folks, that's a hard prayer to understand sometimes. Because many, many times we pray, and I thought how many times in my life, Lord, I need You to walk with me here. I need You to accompany me here in this venture of my life. Lord, I need You to do this for me now. And God began to just, through His Word and through His Spirit, just kind of reevaluate my thought processes this week and my desires and what I'm here for. And how many knows? And I need to remind you, we're only here for a little while. Come on, all this you see around you is just temporal or temporary. Amen. God is preparing us. And Jesus Christ Himself has already gone away to prepare a place that where He is, we will be also. Amen. I'm so thankful that God loves us so much that one of these days He's going to have a place prepared for us. Amen. That there'll be no more sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no more death. Praise God. And you know what? You better get your crying done now. Because I read in the Bible where God is going to wipe away every tear. And I don't know how you see that, but I think that means not only the future tears, but I think it means all of the past tears. The heartache, the sorrow, the remorse that children of God have had to endure through all of these things in our life. The loss of loved ones. One of these days, all of that's going to be erased from our memory banks. And we're going to have joy, exceeding joy, and gladness forever and ever and ever. In a glorious place. But until then, let us walk by faith. Until then, let us put our faith and trust in God and desire. And the psalmist used the word to pant, to strongly desire to hear the testimonies and the Word of God. I'm at that point, folks. I'm at the point that I not only want to hear from God, I have to hear from God.
I have to have His direction, because I can't get it in the world. I can't get it in the environment that we're living in today. I can't find peace there, and I can't find joy there. But how many knows there is a place? There is a prayer closet. There's a place, amen, that we have to come boldly before the throne of grace. And God is a God of peace. Not only is a God of strength, but He's a God of peace. And He'll give us peace during these very trying times to let us know that I've got it under control. I'm going to take care of you. I want you to just kind of look at one of your neighbors today and say, you know what? God's got it. God's got it in control. He's going to take care of us. We don't need to worry. We don't need to fret. God is on the scene. Amen. And He panted and desired to hear these from God. I'm reminded of the 23rd Psalm. David, who was reared as a little shepherd boy, many of his psalms refer to his background, because that's what he knew. That's what the life that he knew. And he talks about in the 23rd Psalm, one of the most popular passages of Scripture. Maybe some even refer to it as their favorite Scripture. But I want to read verse number 4, if I can. Maybe 4 through 6. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Didn't say if. It said, "Yea." Meaning, I probably will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want us to understand there's so very many concepts in those particular three verses, let alone the entire chapter where David lets us know that the Lord will lead us and guide us, but green pastures and still waters, and God is a constant companion with that. But there'll be times when the water won't be still. There'll be times when the green pastures have turned into a desert place, a wilderness. But that doesn't mean that God has left us. That just means that seemingly we can put our strength, or put our faith in His strength when we go through those times. And the wonderful promise is, "Thou art with me." How many is thankful this morning that whatever I face, Thou art with me? When I go to the lowest valley, dear Lord, Thou art with me. I can be on the mountaintop, and I can feel His glorious power, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is with me. But even when I go through the path, through the desert, through the storms, through the fire, whatever the situation is, I know that God, Thou art with me. You won't leave me and You won't forsake me. And Lord, I want my steps to be governed by Your word. I want my steps and my actions to be sanctioned by Your Holy Spirit. That Spirit that is within us is not just there to lie dormant. The Lord said, "I will give you power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Power. Amen. We have power. And it's time that we exhibit that power and demonstrate that power that God has instilled with us. We don't need to say things like, "I don't know what I'm going to do." Listen, when the flesh doesn't know what it's going to do, the Spirit can step up and say, "Wait a minute. I've given you power. Wait a minute. I won't leave you. Wait a minute. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this situation. Thou art with me. Never are we alone." So many people say sometimes, you know, "I just feel like I'm all alone in this world." You're not alone if you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You can look around and there may not be another person that'll offer you any kind of consolation or even acknowledge that you're going through anything, but I know one that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there with us. David said, "Thou art with me. Thou art with me when the crowds turn against me. Thou art with me when I even seemingly those that I had a friendship with turn their back on me. Thou art still with me." I'm so thankful in the midnight hour when seemingly everybody else is asleep and your mind is just a turmoil. Thou art with me, God. I put my faith and trust in You, and I know whatever I face, Lord, that I will not face it alone. He says, "I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil." Why will we fear no evil? Because we don't face evil alone. Then said, I would never have any evil. Never did say I wouldn't be involved with evil around me. He just said, I won't fear it. I won't fear it. Glory to God. Amen. We can be around it. It can be in on all around us. And we can still have that faith and trust and power in a never failing God. David said, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. You know, this really helped him out when he came out into the valley where the battle was. And the Philistines were on one side. And the giant Goliath, their champion, was ranting and raving against Israel. And Israel was on the other side of the hill. And Saul and even David's brothers, they were fearful. But David come out just on an errand from his father to bring some food to the brothers and to see how things were going. And he didn't understand why the children of God were standing shivering, amen, and fearing evil. And he said, I'll go out and fight him. He said, because I'm not afraid of him, because greater is he that is within me. He said, I'm not coming with spear or sword, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Amen. Give us that same attitude that little David had this morning. And I got news for you. Amen. God is no respecter of persons, and what he did through David, he'll do through you too if we'll just have the faith and trust, amen, to believe in God, to say, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Then he goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort me. Because they're always there to help me. May not even have to use them, but they're still there. And thank God they're going to comfort me through all of my adversity, through all of my trials, through all of my temptations and situations. Order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. I began to think about that, Lord. Every move that I make, and I know we're talking about natural steps here, but what the Lord really impressed in my heart and my mind, every decision that I make in life, whether it concerns myself, my family, the church, whatever it is, I want it to be thoughtful. I want it to be prayerful. I want it to be deliberate, and I want it to be ordered by God, measured, and that measured means so much to me, because you stop and you think about what you're about to do. You stop and you contemplate about what you're about to say. And you stop and you prayerfully think about it before you put it into action. And how many of us, if we'd be honest with you, or with ourselves, think, Lord, I wished I had stopped and thought about it a little bit more before I put that into action, or before I went out and done that, or before, and let's get real, before I went out and bought that. How many has ever bought something and then you wish to goodness you hadn't bought it? It's called an impulse item. You know, and they're bad about putting them up there, and you know, Penny would say, what did you get this? And I said, I don't know. I didn't think about it. It was just there. And I said, I'm just going to get me one of them. What you going to do with it? I don't know. Have no need for it whatsoever. And how many times do we react that way? How many times have we responded that way? How many times have we put ourselves in jeopardy by not really thinking about what we're doing, or not really asking God what we're doing? I'll share a story with you that has meant so much. My mom and dad played such an important role in my life, and I really appreciate our upbringing, and they were faithful to God and to the church, and they were stern in the way that they raised us, but they were also loving, and they acted in a way that they didn't demand that we did them like they did, but it left such a legacy that we wanted to be like our parents. And I remember when Dennis and myself were, I guess we were in middle school, and Dad had an opportunity. He was working at General Motors building Chevrolets, and had an opportunity to buy a business. And that business was a small convenience store, Superette or whatever you want to call it. And when he had that opportunity to come home and thought about it, well, my brother and myself, man, if we was taking a vote, we'd both, yeah, absolutely, you need to buy that store, Daddy. Because we were thinking about all this stuff. You know, man, it looks good. We can get all the candy junk and the Cokes and all that stuff that we want. And we thought, man, that'd be great. And he began to talk to Mother. And they said, well, what we need to do is pray about it. And I was thinking about, what are you going to do that for?
I mean, you got this excellent opportunity to get this store, you know, and you know how kids are. They think money grows on trees and all. So, man, you just ought to buy it. But Dad and Mom said, no, we're going to pray about it. So, you know, I started praying. I said, Lord, get them the store. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I felt good about my prayer. Because come on. I mean, think sometimes we still pray that way. Never mind how God wants it. I want the store, you know. But not Mom and Dad. And it went on and on, and they were still praying about it. And I'm thinking, how long do you need to pray about getting a store? You just need to go get it, you know. It's just it's a done deal as far as I'm concerned. And Dennis was the same way. But then what really made an impact, we were going to the church at Rockmart. One Sunday morning, Mom and Dad joined hands and asked me and Dennis to come up to the altar with them, and Dad very humbly said, there's a decision that I need to make in my life, and I don't want to do anything that is not God's will. Those words still ring in my heart and in my spirit. And he said, I want to ask the Lord to lead us and guide us in a decision, in a financial decision that we need to make, you know. And I knew if God told Daddy no, then it would have been no. And the elders of the church came around, and they anointed Mom and Dad and prayed that prayer. And I walked away from that service with a different outlook. I realized that I was childish. Man, I was a child. I realized that I was selfish. I realized that maybe what I wanted was not what God wanted. And I changed my mind, my focus, and I said, Lord, I respect Mom and Dad. Because they didn't give in to what me and Dennis wanted. They didn't give in to, you know, just saying, well, this is what we want. We're going to do it. We worked hard. This is blah, blah, blah. But they said, if it be God's will, then it'll work out. And if it's not, then it won't. And anyway, to make a long story short, they did get the store, and it worked out. They were blessed during the 16 years that they had the store. But and I thought, you know, I like I said, I had the utmost respect from then on about my dad, because I realized that every decision, and that was a big, big decision, but I watched my dad put little, small decisions in God's hands. And God reminded me of that this week and let me know that, you know, it may seem a small decision in my life. It may seem a small act in my life, but it's just as big, amen, in our relationship with God. So I want my steps to be measured. I want my communication to be measured. I want my relationships to be measured. And when I say measured, again, that means deliberate, calculated, thoughtful, and prayerful. What do you want me to do, God? What would you have me to say? How would you have me to react to this situation? And let me tell you something, folks. It works with your relationship with your wife, your husband, your family, your employer. Amen. Your employees, the people that you work with. It works in all situations. Amen. It is just a way of saying, wait a minute, Lord, you know what's best for me. You know what I need to do. You know tomorrow. All I can see is what's right in front of me, but you know tomorrow. So order my steps in the Lord, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I thought that was so wonderful. He realizes that even though he has a relationship with God, and even though that he's saying, God, I want to be faithful to you, and I want you to lead me and guide me, but still, don't let any iniquity or sin have dominion over. Don't let anything in this world be stronger than my spirit that is within me. Help me to be an overcomer. Not to become a victim, but to be an overcomer. And how many knows that we are more than conquerors through Lord Jesus Christ, which strengthens us. Amen. We don't need to be defeated. We don't need to have a defeative attitude. Amen. We need to understand that God is greater than any problem, any mountain, any situation that we ever have. I pray again. I don't just want this just to be just a sermon that I had to fill in some time. I want it to be my new insight to my relationship with God. Lord, let my steps be measured. Don't let me just kind of, what is the saying, run off half-cocked and then ask the Lord to get me out of this situation, to get me out of this problem. But wait a minute. Be intent about, Lord, is this the right move? Is this the right step that you would have me make? Is this, and listen to me, young people, is this the right occupation? Is this the right move that you would have me to make in this time in my life?
Because let me tell you something. We've heard it all of our life. Decisions have consequences. They do. What you sow, you reap. We understand that. Sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other ear. But if we'll sanction that with a prayerful prayer unto God and ask Him, Lord, You know better what I need in my life. You know which direction I need to take. And here's whatever direction it is, we're never taking it alone. Saying, God, You lead me and guide me. I pray that You'll be with me every day of my life. Everything that I do. I know I'm getting on up in years now, but that doesn't mean that we don't have decisions to make. That doesn't mean that we don't need direction in our life. Help me in my grandparenting. Help me, Lord, in my business decisions. Help me in my relationship. And Lord, most importantly, help me in my spiritual walk with You. Because as long as I've been saved and as long as I've been living for the Lord, I still need His guidance. Amen. I can't make it a day without Him. And I want to depend on Him and ask Him to give me that ability. Give me that desire to put His will above my own. Amen. And I pray that this world would get a hold of this mindset. I pray that the spiritual and civil unrest that is here today, and I know it's Bible prophecy bearing out, but still, the psalmist said, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Can I tell you how sad it is when you see a post that someone's holding up a sign and said, if Jesus comes again, or if Jesus comes, kill Him again. I never thought that I'd see anything that perverse in my lifetime, that evil. But somebody proudly holding up a sign saying that, and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I thank God that His grace is more powerful than ours, and His love and His forgiveness. But you know, the greatness of the Lord is, if that person would repent right now, Jesus would love him and save him. Amen. I'm a prime example of that because I was not worthy to be saved. But that makes it all the more wonderful. That's the reason His grace is so wonderful. Thank God for His grace, His mercy, and His love. And I leave you with this. Measure your steps. Measure your reaction. Measure your response. You'll be better off for it. May God bless you. Would you stand? Maybe it's been a little different this morning, maybe a little more unusual, but I pray that we'll take these words to heart. I pray that we would have that desire to have God lead us and guide us and direct us in every avenue of our life, and you'll be happier for it. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have a need this morning, amen, I know a God that is able to do all needs. Amen. He's a healer of the body. He's the deliverer. Amen. He's the redeemer of our soul and salvation. Is there one this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye closed? Do you have a need this morning? Come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you, whatever that need may be. Some of you elders, if you would, gather around and let's have prayer.